You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jibbit Bobbit Bell. You've been listening to the Hot Texas Swing Band, and there are a number of Hot Texas from our favorite friend, Alex Dormont.
Mm-hmm. And you know, an album of theirs just won Swing Album of the Year, the International Western Music Association. We just kind of flipped that in. Yeah. Jim, who are our guests joining us tonight?
Our guests tonight, we have a great guest. We have Mike Bray of Wolfpack Publishing, and we have Peter Branvold, prolific author of Western books. Welcome.
We're delighted to have you both joining us. Mike, where are you joining us from?
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. Right. And we see, I'm holding up only two books, and I see behind you, for those that are listening and not watching tonight, Mike, what are on the bookcases behind you? What is all that?
Those are all titles published by Wolfpack. Mr. Branvold has about 100 of those.
I love your, it is not a green screen, folks. That is real books behind him. And Peter, where are you joining us from?
I'm from Fergus
Peter,
Falls.
Yeah.
Fergus Falls. I live just outside.
Minnesota. Yes, and we're just delighted. We got the nation covered, more or less, don't we?
We do.
We're happy. Yeah. Oh, we're in Albuquerque.
Oh, okay. Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, Albuquerque. Yeah. Years ago, we were in LA, and that's how we first met Sam. So we have had a long roots in the LA area, but came to Albuquerque just about 7 years ago. So here we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get started, Jim, do you have a little something that you'd like to say about each of our guests?
We have bios. Yeah, I'll read both of them here. We have one for Mike. Mike Bray boasts 3 decades of experience in internet marketing with a specialization in search engine optimization. As the CEO of Wolfpack Publishing, a company he co-founded in 2013 with Western writer L.J. Martin, Bray has demonstrated impressive leadership in the publishing sector. Under his guidelines, the company swiftly amassed a significant portfolio of Western authors and their previous works. By December 2016, Wolfpack achieved a remarkable milestone of selling 2 million books. Today, Wolfpack stands as one of America's fastest-growing publishers. It has earned the honor of being listed twice on Inc. magazine's compilation of the 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in the U.S. It was rated number one in 2021 as the fastest growing publisher in America.
Congratulations, Mike, and everyone at Wolfpack.
Wow.
Peter Branvold was born and raised in North Dakota. He went to school at the University of North Dakota and graduated with a BA in English. He wrote for a number of magazines, including Country Journal and True West Magazine, until 1995, when he started writing adventure stories. He is working on his 176th Western. Oh, wow. He has lived all over the West, including Montana, Arizona, and Colorado. He currently lives in Western Minnesota with his dog. Welcome. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're delighted. We've been counting the days until we had this opportunity to meet with both of you. And Mike, we enjoyed meeting you a couple of times at the Western Writers of America gathering. Always fun. We get to meet and mingle with everybody. It's just such a fun event. So welcome. Welcome, welcome. Do you want to ask that question we have for both of them?
This is a good question for me. What is that question we asked Boba?
We have a question for both of them.
Yeah. Why are Western stories relevant today?
Mike, do you want to address that first?
It's the true American story. It's the hero always comes out on top. And it's just, for me, it's like crack for, it's just pure entertainment.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Peter, what about for you?
The Western is just, I mean, it's archetypal, you know? I mean, we've been publishing Westerns for a long, long time, you know? And I think a genre that's that strong is going to be really hard to kill off. You're always going to have some kind of an audience, you know? You're always going to have some kid who's father or grandfather gives him a Western and he reads it, falls in love with it and goes out to get more. Then that was me. That was me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta say, there's never things on streaming on TV these days that are Westerns or Western related. And it really helps to keep the genre going, whether you've been watching Yellowstone or 1883 or 1993, or he's got a new one out, Horizon, and then we have something else, Landmark, out. So
Landman. Yes, and we, of course, we're very involved, as a lot of our listeners know, in Western music, but we're also seeing in country music more and more lyric that, if you didn't hear the sound or know who was performing it, you'd say, oh my gosh, that's Western lyric, Western music, a lyric about the landscape, you know, lyric about the lifestyle, lyric about working on a farm or on a ranch, you know, and so it's sort of, it feels like it's coming mainstream again.
Yeah, I think it is too.
You know, the Western genre is kind of a unique genre. When I got into it 12, 14 years ago, the traditional publishers were backing off of Westerns because they couldn't compete with the little guys like me that were not worried about protecting print runs. Mm-hmm. Now, all the traditional publishers have backed out of the Western genre. It's just the little guys like me and self-publishers. It's a great genre for indies. And today's there's more pages of Western fiction read than there was 10 years ago. But they're hard to find. It's hard to find in the bookstore.
Yes.
It is
hard to find. Mm-hmm. We were just in our local big store yesterday, and I actually couldn't find it. It was even like a Craig Johnson or an Ann Hillerman no longer were even, so they were just mixed in with mysteries. There was no subdivision of cozy mystery or thriller, or, you know, it was like, oh, it's all. So we went looking for favorite Western authors and we had a really hard time finding them, unfortunately. So if you're listening and you love Westerns, go support the authors and where however you can find them, right?
They're not hard to find.
Yeah.
Our books, Wolfpack books, can be ordered from any bookstore in the world. So, but they're not going to carry them. Right. Very few will carry them.
You have to order.
Yeah, I have to order them. Yeah.
How many books a month or a week do you publish? I know that you're pretty proficient here.
Yeah, we have four imprints, soon to be five, and currently we release 6 to 8 a week.
That's astounding.
All Westerns.
Right. That must keep your staff pretty busy.
It does. We got a hell of a crew. I'm blessed with the employees we have.
Where do you do the printing? Does that occur in the States or you do it someplace else? Where are they bound together?
The training?
Yeah.
Printing.
Yeah.
Printing.
Oh, printing. It's we have a relationship with Ingram out in Nashville.
Okay, very good.
Because we do see a lot of the books on bookshop.org, of course, as well as Amazon and other places. Yeah. And so,
Ingram Services, and then, bookshop.org.
Yeah. And I see that that Wolfpack has some really aggressive, wonderful marketing, how you market a series or, you know, for a limited time. We get your emails, and so you must have how many people, Mike, work on the marketing aspect of what you all do?
We have our pay-per-click crew is in where are they? Atlanta, Georgia. We have a 3-man crew in Atlanta, and then we have our graphics gal. All she does is graphics. She's in Chicago. And then we have another one somewhere in Texas. Anyway, somewhere in the Texas Panhandle, and all she does is typography. But we blend them all together and it works. And that's what kind of got me interested in publishing. The first Western Writers Conference I went to was in Las Vegas, 11 or 12 years ago. And nobody believed in advertising. It was all just selling those books out of the trunk of your car. And to me, selling a product without advertising is kind of like winking at a girl in the dark. You're not going to get your message across.
That was close.
I got to remember that. Yeah.
But, and it's, again, publishing is unique. It's always been a business-to-business business for publishers. The marketings normally or used to be done by bookstores. Mm-hmm. What Wolfpack did is cut the bookstores out and just started marketing directly to the consumer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good.
Yes.
I get kind of a naive technical question. If a prospective author submits a manuscript to you for review, where does it go? How is it handled?
Yeah, we have a review committee. We have half a dozen volunteers, volunteer read. They'll give us a little report, and then we, if it's something we want to take in, if it's not an established author, it goes in front of a 6-man review committee. We work really closely with the Amazon's algorithms, and it's almost up to the point where quantity will trump quality. So we look for the prolific authors that can create a fan base around them. It used to be with in the traditional world, they were always afraid they were going to cannibalize their print runs. So with a prolific author, a book a year would be satisfactory. Well, the readers read a hell of a lot faster than that. With Pete's series, we release them every 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chomping at the bit for that next book.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine. Well, you know, as you're reading, you got a favorite author. Yeah, it is a little bit, you know, I'm thinking about it myself. Well, yeah. I just got them with a great book. When's the next one coming out?
When's the next one? Right.
Yeah.
Right. I've almost had, and I had planned to finish for tonight, but this book, which we're going to talk about in greater detail in a few moments, Nordic and Finn, I started reading it on whatever Sunday, Monday morning, did not want to walk away from it. And now I already know, Peter, I need book 2 and I don't want to wait.
I know.
I'm waiting too, so don't feel bad.
Such engaging characters and such an interesting plot line and just so well written. You know, Peter, your books just demand to be read aloud. Your descriptions and a lot of your very fun similes that you use, I kept saying, oh my gosh, listen to this. Oh my gosh, listen to this.
There's one Pete is definitely on top of his game. There's nobody out there better today.
I just got thrown for a loop from a loop when I fell off a ladder, and it busted some cracked some ribs, and I couldn't sit up for a long time, you know. So it was just I was in misery, but I'm getting better now.
So will you take that personal experience and write it into a character?
I could. You never know where you're gonna mine gold from.
Yeah.
You're actually doing it.
Some of your characters go through some pretty physical situations where I wonder, has he fallen off horses often? Has he been hogging, you know, over a limb? Does he know what it's like to have a rope around his neck? You know,
Fortunately, I do not. I was thrown off a lot of horses when I was a kid and kicked, but no, I've had anything dramatic like that happen, thank God.
Yeah. How did you two meet? Do you remember?
We didn't meet or anything like that.
No, I think it was through mutual friends.
Larry. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Mike, the folks that are reading the manuscripts that come through, are you right now as a publisher looking for particular kinds of stories or themes? I don't know if that's quite the right word. And if so, are there some hot topics that you don't want to miss out on?
We're looking for really genre-specific romance, like second chance romance, friends to lovers, enemies to lovers. We have a new romance in print. It's targeting a little younger audience than the romance we've done in the past.
Okay.
We're looking for thrillers, men's adventure, and series. On the Westerns, we're pretty well covered. We have, with our existing authors like Pete, they keep us pretty busy. And we find if we publish too many Westerns, we're just stepping on the author's toes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Peter, you do know how to write romance for sure.
There's some romance in there.
There is. What do you see about, let's see, what's it called these days? Eerie Westerns or weird Westerns or, you know, Westerns with a sci-fi or supernatural bent.
And we've published some. Pete's written a couple weird Westerns. Mike Barron wrote a great weird Western series. We're not afraid of them. I'd like a steampunk Western series. I can't get anybody to write it for me. Our true niche is the classic Western, like Pete writes.
Let's see. I'm looking at time. Okay, you did tell us a little bit about who designs the covers. So you have a member on staff that's really working on your really wonderful covers. They're just great.
And we have an army of people we outsource to as well on those covers.
Do you direct? You kind of give them direction on how to come up with the cover, or you just let them do their thing?
No, we've got to give them direction, with most publishers won't let the authors have any input. We do, and I understand why most publishers don't, because sometimes we have completely different ideas.
And I guess since it's so mostly it's series, there has to be a kind of continuation of look on the cover for that series.
Oh yeah,
it's
got to be.
It's
got to be branded consistently throughout.
Yeah. Right. So, Peter, have you enjoyed working with Wolfpack? And what's some benefits you received being a part of their group?
Well, I'm living in a Beverly Hills mansion. And
I thought it was in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, yeah.
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 I mean, I was pretty much out of print until Mike and I got together, and he reprinted all of my stuff in his magnificent way, and knew how to market them just brilliantly. So it changed my life. You know, Wolfpack completely changed my life. I was pretty much self-publishing, you know, designing my on the computer, and they looked cheap and gaudy, you know, and I was making a living doing it, but you know, nothing like this now.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to show you one of the places that you can find these books, as well as all of the books of our Rendezvous with a Writer guest, and that is our Out West Shop Bookshop affiliate on bookshop.org. And remember, the holidays are fast approaching, and books make the best gifts.
They do.
We'll be right back to talk more with Peter and Mike. Don't go away.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Mike Bray of Wolfpack, and we're talking Peter Branville, and we got two of his books right here.
And we're going to get into as soon as we get off the air, I am finishing this book, Nordic and Finn. Absolutely love it, Peter. Yeah. Love it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this series? This is book one. What's the inspiration for it, and kind of how did it get started?
Well, I adopted my dog Buddy. He was, you know, an orphan too, and just running free. And I've always hated, you know, when dogs were abused. And it starts out with the abuse of this homeless dog, you know. And my the big loner rides into town and saves the dog from a nasty kid, you know, who is teasing it with his stick. You know, just making its life miserable. And I guess that's the premise I started out with. I never think them all the way through. I just, who would be a good character? I've always wanted a dog, you know, because some of my favorite books as a kid were by Jack London and, who's the guy from, he wrote
the guy that wrote the Collie Stories?
No, the Jim.
I know who you're. Jim. We can all be thinking about the authors that we love that write animal, you know, pet stories. Yeah.
Jim Kjellgaard.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, and this this dog, we meet Nordic meets Finn, and that's where the names come from. And that Finn, that little dog, that is quite a character. Got a lot of spunk, that little guy, doesn't he?
He saves his owner quite a few times.
You know, we were talking about this before the show started, and some of our readers, listeners and viewers out there don't know that you actually... You know, you're very good at taking in abused animals and turning them into brand new dogs. So I think that's a great story.
Yeah.
Always
go ahead.
I've always wanted to write about that, you know.
Yeah.
I've written a lot of essays, personal essays, memoirs about the dogs that I've had, you know, and I've had, you know, almost every one just came from nowhere, you know.
Yeah. Well, and Finn learns real quickly. Finn is very, very smart and learns very quickly about, I shouldn't bark right now, but I need to let them know. I need to, you know, he's really in tune with Nordic almost from the beginning, isn't he?
He is very intuitive. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how did Nordic, did he like announce himself to you? Were you sitting, thinking, and all of a sudden Nordic entered the room and you said, oh my gosh, there's my guy. How did you meet Nordic?
Walking with Bud, you know? And I just thought, okay, I need to do a new series. What would be a catchy title? And I thought, it just popped into my head. You know, it's got a ring to it, you know?
It does.
A title has to have a ring to it, a natural ring.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big guy, right? What, Nordic?
Oh, he's a big guy. He, on page one, Anders Nordic was a big, bearded Norwegian-American from Dakota Territory who owned a set of eyes so blue, most people describe them as startling, even chilling. Okay, you got me at the first sentence, Peter. let's see. When you're working, do you create backstories for the characters at all that you refer to when you get stuck or anything, or do you just sit down and write?
I just sit down and write. They come to me as I'm writing. I had no idea what Nordic's backstory was going to be until I was actually writing it. It just comes naturally, you know? I mean, obviously, the reader at this point needs to know more about him. So I write more about him, and I know it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And there has to be some pain involved, because that's compelling, and because it gives him a journey, you know, to heal, to try to heal anyway. Mm-hmm. So, no, it all happens.
You know, from the way you talk, I assume that writer's block is not something you think about, right?
No, I don't get it. I don't get writer's block. I get slow sometimes because I have to go back and read stuff and I'll write myself into a box canyon, and mm-hmm. I'll go back, get myself out of it. I tend to write too fast, so I get myself into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Get him into a situation that, well, this isn't really natural. You know, days on a subplot that I realize is not working, so I have to throw it out and go back and start over where that part started.
Mike, do you have good advice for authors that are on a deadline that are running into some kind of a box canyon?
Gosh, I wish I did. you know, I'm going to go to AI and look for a route out of your box canyon. But we're fighting deadlines constantly here.
Yeah. And so almost like journalists, they just have to meet that deadline, don't they?
They do. And it's, you know, a lot of our authors are older. They had great careers somewhere else and retired and started writing. And it's hard to treat a hobby like a job. And so we do have problems with deadlines.
Yeah.
That would be true.
Yeah. Okay, Peter, back to you with a question. So even you have some, you know, you have some not so nice people, which we have to have not so nice people, or we wouldn't have conflict and such. Right. Are they hard for you to write, or are they really fun to write a really bad guy?
Those are my favorite. Really evil, malicious, bad guy is my favorite.
Well, and we have
Nordic,
we have one for sure in this book. Yes.
Yeah. How about Maggie Ray? Okay. Let's talk about her.
We're going to throw out some character names, and you can just give us a statement about them. Maggie Ray. Oh, I love Maggie. Tell us a little bit about this character.
I've always loved odd ducks. And, wait a minute. You're talking about the older woman, not her.
Clara Vaughn we're going to get to, too. But Maggie Ray.
I don't just kind of came right up. I thought a lot of humor in her, you know. She is just small, wiry, and mean as hell, you know.
Yeah.
But down, very nurturing and loving to her.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to like her, even though she has the curmudgeonly exterior, you know, she didn't put up with anything. She stands her ground and she's like a velvet hammer, you know,
except when she's got that rifle and you don't want to be in front of her.
And then there's her niece, Clara Vaughn. Tell us about her.
She just came out of nowhere too, you know. I mean, I just had Nordic and Finn go up to their ranch because he was Nordic and Finn were living in the her line shack, and he'd just gotten into a lot of trouble in town, and he knew people were going to be him, so he had to warn them. And I had no idea what Clara was going to be like, you know. I don't write stereotypical women, you know. Just beautiful and prim and proper, and you know, I like oddballs, and she comes upstairs at him on the porch.
Yeah,
and he's talking to Maggie Ray, and she had bad childhood down in Massey, I think it was.
That's right. This takes place in a part of kind of New Mexico that I know Jim Jones has written about, too. It might be in a different time exactly, but it felt very similar to me that we're up in Cimarron and we're kind of in that, you know, in that area. So, Mike, do you like that we have some unusual women in this book? You like that oddball kind of gal?
We do. Pete's also written a lot of adult Westerns, so he's pretty good with those women. But typically with our books, the sex is all behind closed doors, and it's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you can tell they're frisky.
Frisky women. Tell us a little bit about Town Marshal Bryce Adams.
Bryce Adams. How far have you gotten into the book?
Well, he has left the story at the moment.
Yeah, he's gone, right?
He's still alive.
No. No, you took him out and Bobby wasn't happy.
No. I wept.
They hanged him.
Yeah.
Shot him and hanged him. Just love that character. I mean,
yeah.
He was an alcoholic. He had a lot to try to, you know, make up for. And his wife left him because he was a drunk. And his two kids, she took his two kids and, you know, left. And then he falls in love with the absolute worst kind of woman. You know, a showgirl who was also a drunk. So they have this very dysfunctional codependent relationship.
Dependence, yeah.
And it's a really sad relationship, you know. And I mean, those are the best kind of characters, you know. You don't want the happy, this isn't the Waltons, you know.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I liked him. I liked how he is on the page, because even though this is book one in the series, we learn that he was something else earlier in his life. And so many of us are there, you know, we were someone else earlier in our life. And he's hit that, I don't want to say middle-age crisis, that sounds just too, but he's at a point in his life that he's not what he was. And it bothers, I mean, it's hard on his heart. And in the last pages that we're with him, he's going to make a stand and he's going to turn, you know, it's so hard to turn around. So I found him as such a relatable character. And I think that's so important for readers, is no matter what the time period is, or whether we're in outer space, or, you know, whatever, that the characters still talk to us on some kind of level in our own lives or our experience. And I was really gutted for him.
Well, been such an honor, lawman, you know, before. And then he goes to Cimarron and just becomes a pawn of the wealthy ranchers. So he finds himself absolutely powerless, and his pride is taking a huge hit because he has no power anymore, though he has to still play the game. You know, he has to go arrest people who are, you know, powerful, but he's afraid. You know, he's very afraid, and he hates that about himself.
Yeah.
So he has no more at all. And then when he does try to get it back, finally, they kill him.
I'm looking at time, and we're going to take one more quick step away. Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison out of Minnesota work very closely with us and our sponsors of the show, and they do a lot for writers. So we're going to have just a message from Blue Cottage and Clicks by Madison, and we will be right back. Rendezvous with a Writer is sponsored by Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, your author publicity and book marketing team. Experience, trusted, effective. Contact them today at bluecottageagency.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Running with the Writers. Special guests, Mike Bray of Wolfpack, Peter Branvold, prolific author of Western books. And we just talked about Nordic and Finn. And was that Bloody Joe there?
Yes.
Yeah, we need to talk about this one a couple minutes.
Yes, we have to give a little time for it. Bloody Joe's Last Dance, Bloody Joe Mannion 9.
That's right. This is the last of the series, right? Peter?
Yes, it is. I hope I sent him off well. I know a lot of readers did the way they sent it.
You know, I'm halfway through. See, I gotta finish this off because I get a couple of theories of what's gonna happen in the rest of the book. I want to see, and I particularly want to see if I'm right or not.
So what's the, can you quickly give us a little, like before, a little scoop on kind of what was the storyline for this? What is the storyline?
You mean for just that book?
Well, or the...
This part of
the series, maybe the series.
Okay.
The uncompromising lawman, you know, totally, totally uncompromising. And everybody in town and the ranchers hate him because he goes head to head with everybody, you know? And he's always been like that. He started out as he grew up in the mountains with a mountain family, you know, and he grew up hunting and trapping with his father and mother. And then he joined the Indian Wars when the wars broke out. And after that, he became a town tamer. And he tamed towns all along the, you know, from Kansas to Texas. And he broke heads, you know. He was just not going to stand.
Yeah.
Not going to stand for anything. And he became meaner and meaner. And, you know, he was more effective that way. I mean, you don't want a town tamer.
Mm-hmm.
But he went head to head with everybody. And he gained a reputation for being just a, you know, really mad, angry, uncompromising man, very violent, except he loves his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've only read this book, but you know, he's like two John Waynes.
I know.
The guy's a force of nature.
I know.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's hard to like, but I like characters that are kind of hard to like, but there's just enough about them that you can't help but like them, you know. And if, you know, yeah. The girl from, what's her name again? Jane. Yeah.
Yep.
Jane Mannion.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And she is just fit to be tied because she can't help but love him, but she also hates him.
Yeah.
Totally, you know, just impossible to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter knows that too, but she can't help but love him too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a scene, they're always talking to him about improving his health, you know, and his eating habits and drinking habits. And there's a scene in there where she goes into his office, and the marshal's office, there and behold, he sits there with half a glass of whiskey, a bottle beside it. He's got a cigarette he just stuffed out, and he's got one in his hand. It's like, hey, there's no problem here.
And he pops a nitroglycerin tablet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. At the same time he's drinking, the doctor says, don't do that.
So she goes over there and joins him.
Yeah.
He's done fighting for him. You know?
Yeah. So, well, I think in that scene, though, he learned something from her, from the way she reacted. So I think he suddenly decided, maybe I ought to listen to what she's saying.
Yeah. Well, he starts realizing that he's not the only tough one.
Yeah.
He's very feminine.
So good point.
When you started this series, did you have an idea, Peter, of how many stories you were set to write?
Well,
did Mike just say to you, another one, give us another one? How does that go?
Mike told me. So,
yeah,
I like to get an idea of time of how many we're doing, because you know, you got to have a beginning, middle, and an end. You can't just all of a sudden, because most of my books sort of continue into, you know.
Yeah.
And so I wanted, as I was writing, you know, the middle and last three quarters of the books, I wanted to get a pretty good idea of how I was going to end it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate series the books are totally enclosed, and then the series will just be pulled and that's it. You're left with nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, I sort of based it on the idea of the Netflix series that continues, you know, to the next. Yeah. And you're following to see what happens to all of them.
Right. Do you feel that a reader could pick up a series at any point? I know so they're not necessarily standalone, but there's enough of a backstory sort of fed in so they know kind of where they're at, or do they really need to start at book one?
No.
They can start anywhere.
You can start anywhere.
Funny is, we'll sell a book, you know, number six in a series, and see that buyer go back and buy the rest of the series.
Right.
Not surprised.
I would think that would happen.
Yeah, because you just got to know. You want to know. You don't want to miss anything.
All of my.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at time. My goodness. So let's see. Did you want to ask about any other specific characters?
I don't know if we can get them in. Yeah, I think we better go to.
Okay. All right. So, gentlemen, this has been such fun. So, Mike, where can people find you, find the books, buy an order? Tell us.
Wolfpackpublishing.com.
And what's coming up, Mike? Do you have some special promos coming for the holiday season or a bunch of new books coming out?
We do. We'll have a lot of 99-cent books available for Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Wow.
So watch social media and you'll see the ads.
Yeah. We will. And sign up for their newsletter because I feel like almost daily I'm getting an update about a new book coming or a special or something.
We release new titles on Tuesday and start our new promotions every Wednesday. So
Wow. Yeah.
Very good.
And Peter, what do you have coming up next and where can people find you?
Just look for me at Wolfpack. I've got my second book, my second Nordic and Finn, and I've outlined the next two. The next one is called The Man from Dakota.
The
Man from Dakota. All
right. That's a good title already. I like that one.
But I have to.
I'm sorry, Peter, say that again.
I've got about 50,000 words on that.
Oh,
wow. Okay. And
good.
Done.
But you're giving Mike a big smile.
See, Mike didn't know that.
As I get older, you know, I did about, you know, I was, but then I'll read through it and I'll think, oh man, they know that subplot just doesn't work. I got to go back and take it out. Mm-hmm. Then you get or writing, you know, to make it fit.
Sure. How many times do you have to go through and edit till you're happy? Or I'm sure it differs with every book, but do you find you have to do like a couple of edits through?
No, I just do one at the end, usually. Okay. But this one, I've had to do like three or four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It got complicated.
And, Pete's one of the cleanest writers we work with. Our editors fight for his books.
All right, that's great.
And
that's
the good. Truth is told on Rendezvous with a Writer. Well, Jim, I think you have a couple quotes. We think we have time.
I think we can slip these two in.
I think
in.
We can slip these quotes in.
This first quote, and they're both from your books, Peter. This one is from Bloody Joe's Last Dance. And Marshal Bloody Joe, he's talking to his deputy, Rio. And he says, I had a dream. I was locked in a coffin and dropped in the river. The lid on the coffin was nailed shut, pitch black, blacker than a banker's heart, blacker than the inside of a glove, blacker than the bottom of a well. Could hardly breathe as the coffin twisted and turned and pitched and rocked. And there I was, shut up tight inside it, hot but cold, sweating, my heart banging away like a drum on a parade ground. What is it? And the deputy Rio says, that's a death dream, Joe. That was kind of neat. And from Nordic and Finn, this is from Maggie Ray, owner of the Fine Debbie Ranch, and she prepares for trouble. She's pulling her 1860 Henry repeating rifle down from the wall. She didn't like to check to see that it was loaded. It was always loaded. An unloaded gun was as much good as an impotent man, which is no damn good at all.
We like Maggie Ray. Well, gentlemen, this has been so fun. I can't wait to read more of your books, Peter. I want to go back and get into the, I just have to go back into everything you write. Just fabulous. Next week is Thanksgiving, and we have a couple of guests joining us. We will start the show with Janice E. Kirk. And so this book, Drawing Close, Encountering Joy, will be wonderful to talk about on Thanksgiving, finding joy in our lives. And then Natalie Bright joins us because Thanksgiving is all about food. And right. We will be talking about her books, Keep Them Full and Keep Them Rolling. And End of the Trail Eats, cowboy-approved recipes from the Cowtown Cafe to the Saloon. And I think Jim's going to try to cook a couple things.
Yeah, I have to.
And Natalie is also a contributing author in a new anthology that's just been critically acclaimed, Through Western Storms. We will chat for a moment with her about her story here And then Richard Prosh, who is the editor of this collection, will be with us in January with three of the writers, and again in February with three more of the writers. So we're looking forward to that in 2025. And I don't think I think we've covered everything. Oh my goodness.
We made it with 10 seconds to spare.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Yeah. And
thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
It's been fun.
We'll catch up with you again in 2025.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Happy trails.